first highlighted in the New York Times, Bonnie Mackay's annual Christmas tree showcases a lifetime collecting almost 3,000 ornaments. Now, through beautiful photography and illuminating vignettes, her book, Tree of Treasures, shares the stories behind 100 of those cherished possessions. Whether it's the story of a family member like Mackay's grandfather, a well-known vaudeville performer, long-held relationships with friends and colleagues in the international community of Christmas crafts makers, a memory of a beloved pet, and much more. From lace angels and vintage Santas to exquisite glass-blown spheres and small silk purses, Tree of Treasures showcases ornaments both beautiful and well-loved, illuminating how ornaments, as we unpack and hang them each holiday season, does indeed tell the story of our lives. Bonnie Mackay is a retail design director and merchandising expert who created Christmas ornaments for Bloomingdale's and the Museum of Modern Art. She took a break from hanging and hanging out with all of her ornaments and is with us this morning, and it's a delight to have you here. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's a delight to be here, Joe.
What a great pleasure. Thank you very much. You have, for those who will have a picture online, but for those of us who are listening to, I just want you to know there's ornaments all over the console, and it just looks great because it doesn't usually look this beautiful. I guess the first question is, at what point did you realize that, I assume that something like this starts unconsciously where you start collecting and then you realize that you're doing it and it becomes more conscious?
I think that if I had to be conscious about collecting, I think I started when I was about 3.
Okay.
And I think that what it was my mother's collection. And she helped me basically understand her collection and helped me add to her collection at a very, very young age by going to Lord & Taylor. And then after that, my husband gave me my first tree, and that was when we were living together. And I came home from work, and there was this tree, green tree, and boxes from Woolworths all around it with white, gold, and red ornaments that were from Woolworths, and that was the start. And I became totally obsessed with ornaments and wanting to add every year more ornaments and more ornaments. But I didn't do it really in a way that was organized. I did it according to things that I really cared about and really loved.
So there was the ornament collector in you before there was the ornament designer and really making that a part of your life.
Absolutely. I think I was very, very fortunate that my avocation became my vocation at mm-hmm. Bloomingdale's. And that it became almost, I have to say, a weird thing, like automatic pilot. Like I saw all these wonderful ornaments and all these wonderful makers, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to create trees and help people create trees in their life by just having my soul go into their ornaments as well. And it was the most amazing thing that ever happened to me.
One of the things that I love about your story and that I love about the book is that there is such variety in the ornaments. There is handmade, there's glass, there's nature, all kinds of different things that are used to make an ornament. Because sometimes people just collect Santas, or they just collect snowmen, or they just collect glass, or they just collect whatever. And yours is very varied.
Yes. Absolutely. They reflect my travels. They actually reflect so many things that my friends have given me too.
Yeah.
And also my husband. And I have, my tree is broken down to 66 different classifications. In fact, this year it becomes 67 with an additional classification. But what it was is that I'll share something with you, that when I got my mother's ornaments when she died in 2002, I opened up all her boxes and I saw this eclectic mix of ornaments that I'd never realized when I was a little girl. And I realized that the eclectic mix was something that she really gave to me.
Mm.
And there was a Howdy Doody that was dressed in gold foil. There were little, there were precious German ornaments that were all molded that are things that actually I worked on too at Bloomingdale's, but they were in her collection. So I had these wonderful traditional heirloom glass, and then I had Howdy Doody, who was dressed in gold, and that was in her box. And then, of course, there was the carrot, which is 115 years old, which was my grandfather's. And I think to myself, when I started collecting my ornaments, I didn't really think about, you know, it has to be Santa's or it has to be white or it has to be gold. I just did according to ornaments that spoke to me. And I also did ornaments that, again, were part of my collection and that friends were giving me. I also felt that messages were very important to me and that people give me ornaments that are messages. They have, I have wonderful things that are notes that I have on my tree. I have gift tags that are on my tree that people have given to me. And so it's just this eclectic thing. You know, I think the most important thing is that my tree represents my life and your tree is your life.
And that's what is so fascinating about the book, because you tell your story through the ornaments and through these vignettes, and we see the ornaments. But we also, I think, you can look at them and realize the parallels to our lives and the various ornaments perhaps that we have and how they tell our story as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I look, you know, I have this wonderful moment every night that I'm in front of the tree and I sit down and I look at all the different ornaments that are in front of me that are on the branches. And I think of all the people that have given me ornaments or the people that are my family or the people that are just part of my life. And, you know, the thing that's so interesting about a tree is only up for either in some families a week, in some families 2 weeks, and some families, and for me, sometimes it's up as much as 3 months. But it is the only time that you see your history in front of you.
So when you say 3 months, is it a 11 foot? Is that how tall?
I wish it was 11 foot. No, it's eight.
8 feet. Okay.
8 feet, yeah.
And artificial?
No, it's always real.
Always real.
Always real.
And this is always an argument that I say argument. It's not really an argument. But I with my wife, because she puts the tree the day after Thanksgiving and then really isn't comfortable letting it go until February.
She's a woman after my own heart.
Yeah. She thinks like Valentine's Day is a fine time to take it down.
I have done it on Valentine's Day and tell her I've actually done it on Washington's birthday.
Yes. And at that point, it just becomes, well, the tree's starting to die, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. But I think I understand her point because, again, you know, every year you set your tree up and you set it up differently.
Yes.
You know, you put the ornaments in a different place. You have ornaments that have come to you from friends. You have ornaments that break or, you know, you lose. And also the tree speaks to you, too. I mean, the tree is, if you have a fresh tree, every year it's a different shape and it's a different strength. So that when I'm designing my tree or when any of us are designing their trees, you have to really think about the structure. So therefore, it's always different.
You talked about classifications a moment ago, and I know you mentioned the carrot, but there's like a carrot classification, right?
Yes.
So there's a carrot section.
Yes, yes.
Which I find interesting. And we have a carrot on our tree. What is it? And I'll just use that as an example for this question, which is, how did we get to that point historically where we would put a carrot or whatever and hang it on the Christmas tree?
I don't know when that really started. My theory is that it started actually with Queen Victoria and her husband, because they were the first ones who really did a tree in the palace. And it was kind of a tree that was very interesting and beautiful assortment of ornaments. And I think actually it's funny. It's just a theory. But in Germany, the pickle is very important.
Yes.
And so people hide the pickle on their tree.
Yeah,
and I think maybe that probably was the introduction of a vegetable on the tree. I don't know. But for me, the carrot came from my grandfather. That was the impetus for that.
And they're beautiful. And the thing that we love about that particular ornament is the color, because you don't often get that bright, brilliant orange on the tree.
And it's so beautiful. So beautiful.
Yes. What do you look for in additions to your collection when you're adding? Are you looking for something specific, or does it just speak to you?
Absolutely speaks to me.
Yeah.
Because I think to myself, you know, for example, I mean, this last 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, we were in Lake Orta in Italy, and I walked by this little store that looked like it was a toy store, but it seemed to beckon me. Come on in, come on in. And I walked in, and here were these wonderful ornaments that were Italian that were, you know, I'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I'm going to buy them. And one was a butterfly and one was a little tiny angel. And they were just so beautiful. And I said, they were going to come to my tree.
Bonnie McKay's book is Tree of Treasures, A Life in Ornaments, and the book is published by Penguin. It is a beautiful book, and I'm going to state the obvious
okay.
now, which is picking 100 seems like it would have been an impossible task.
It was one of the most difficult times for me because I had to walk around the tree and pick 100 ornaments that I felt, most importantly, would really be appreciated by the person who was reading the book, the readers,
yeah.
and the person who was a collector. But for me, too, you know, here all these ornaments are speaking to me, take me, take me, take me. And I had to salute, you know, like select only 100. Well, in those, actually, it started with 130. And then it
then you had edited down?
I had to edit down to 100.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm married to a film editor because it helped me a lot. But it was a very big journey. But you know what's funny? What I tell people, the thing that really made, I had to fill a page.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that I thought was important. I had to fill the page with copy and a good story. And so that was the thing that really made it happen for me.
So let's talk about some of the ornaments, and I'm going to begin with the one that is on the jacket of the book. And again, we'll have pictures of these up on our website, which is wamc.org, and they'll be connected to this interview when it's posted online. This is this an elf?
It's an elf.
Yes, this is an elf, and with kind of a candy cane suit, I guess.
Yes, all hand-painted.
And this is a gorgeous ornament. How did this come to you?
Actually, this was designed for Bloomingdale's. This was a Bloomingdale's project. We had a woman who worked for me. Her name was Vita. And we would come up with a theme of what we thought the trees should be about at Bloomingdale's. Now, we had 15 different trees every year with 15 different themes. And on those trees, we probably had about 15 different ornaments that were designed for Bloomingdale's. And so we said we wanted to do one with Christmas elves, and she came up with this idea, which was fantastic. But then the drawing we had to take to our maker at Di Carlini in Italy, and they actually composed from her drawing. They composed the painting, and the thing that's so beautiful about it, if you notice the subtlety, the nose is pulled out from the glass,
yes,
and not painted, which
right.
is really amazing.
And I love the shoes.
Oh, the shoes are those are hand stitched. They hand-stitched those little felt shoes, and they also hand-stitched the little felt hat, which is amazing.
And the shoes have the little curls.
And the shoes have the little curls. And also, if you notice the garland, you know, he's holding the garland,
yes.
which is really kind of special. When you go to the factory, all these little materials that you see are in boxes behind the makers. And so they pull out the felt, and then they... You know, they individually sew each piece. It's the most amazing craftsmanship I've ever seen in my life.
Now, I realized two things. One is that you told me right before we went on the air that these ornaments have never been out of the house.
Never been out of the house.
So the
and,
fact...
and never been touched by anybody else but me.
All right. So the fact that you've allowed that to happen is very nice, and I thank you very, very much. It also, I realize as I sit here in a chair with wheels that I'm being very, very careful not to move... to my right or left in any extreme way. This is an ornament that I'm going to let you explain because I would call it a reindeer, but I don't know if that is exactly what it is.
That's a wise man.
Okay, well, and it's a wise man. What is the animal?
It's a camel.
It's a camel.
Yes.
All right, it's a camel. I guess I didn't notice the humps.
That's okay.
Okay, but it's beautiful and it's big.
Yes, it's big. And when you think about the fact that the central part of it, where the camel is one cylinder piece of glass. And that, when the blower blows it, he heats it and pulls it. So the head is pulled into the shape, and then he pulls out the little ears, and then he pulls out the legs. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. And then he hands it over to a woman who paints it, and she paints the little carpet piece that's underneath the wise man. And then, of course, the wise man is separately blown as well. The thing that's so special about this, too, is Mrs. Di Carlini made a set of the three wise men for me as a gift.
Mm.
And when I showed her the book, when I went to see her, she was totally shocked because she said that no one has this set. And it really, when she said that, my heart just it meant so much to me because she's a very religious woman, and she, you know, DeCarlini was started after World War II. It's been in business ever since, and she was the daughter of the owner, and now she's 83 years old.
It's a beautiful piece.
Oh, it's fantastic, and really I have
is.
Three of them.
And what is the age, how old?
I would say this probably is about 25 years old.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Let us talk about, there is a piece that you handed me. This is from the Brandywine Museum
yes.
of Art, and this is a one that comes from nature, where
yes.
a craft project, I guess, would
yes.
be the way to describe it.
Yes, it's called the Brandywine Bear, and I'm going to take it out to show Joe.
Oh, he's on a little scooter.
He's on a little scooter, and every single piece of material in this little Brandywine Bear is a natural material that comes from the Brandywine Gardens. Now, his face is a pine cone.
Yeah.
His little hat is an acorn top. And then, of course, his scooter
sure.
is made out of pieces of wood.
Yes.
But the thing that happens is that it starts in March. 950 volunteers get together and compose these ornaments over a period of time until, I believe, November. And there's a designer who gives them a model, but then they're on their own, and they get to do exactly what they want. The thing that is amazing to me, too, is I went to visit them about 3 weeks ago and got a preview of all these wonderful little ornaments that people had designed. And I gasped because I walked down the stairs, and here was over probably 10,000 little tiny boxes, and each box had a completely different ornament in it. And I think the integrity of the Brandywine to do this is absolutely amazing.
It's a beautiful,
Isn't
beautiful
it great?
Piece.
Would you
yes.
like to hold it?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's stunning.
And it's so light.
It is. It's very light.
Yeah.
And I love the seat, too. That's very cool. And great. I assume those are berries for the
yes,
eyes.
The
and
the eyes.
And a red nose.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell us about the angel is in the book. You tell the story about the angel in the book, and this is how the subtitle being A Life in Ornaments, and you talk about having a strained relationship with your mother.
Yes.
And this angel, which is also a large ornament, which I guess is a tree topper.
Yes.
That plays a role.
It's a very important piece for me because it's made out of, my mother was very into fashion, and I think this is the most fashionable ornament that I have on the tree. It's made of damask and has beautiful edge of lace. And my mother gave that to me after I came to her and had a talk about my life. And when Christmas came, I got this wonderful box, and in the box was this angel. Now, the thing that was so special about it, too, is that when she passed away, this angel was on top of the tree. And I came home to Walden Bridge and looked at the tree, and I said to my husband, I can't take this down yet. My mother's just, you know, we've just been to the funeral, and I'm mm-hmm. just too sad. And he said, sure. And the tree was in perfect shape. Now, this was March 10th, and the tree was still up, and it was perfectly green. And I looked up at the tree, and I said, okay, I can't take it down. The following weekend, got there, looked at the tree, and all of a sudden, an angel started spinning on the top of the tree, spinning, spinning, spinning. And I looked at my husband and I said, my mother's giving me the message that I can take down the tree. And that was her message to me, but I couldn't take it down that weekend. The following weekend, I got up. The whole tree had lost all the pine needles, and they had fallen on the tree. The ornaments were in perfect shape. Not one of them had fallen on the ground. And I said to myself, the tree is saying, I'm ready to be taken down, and my mother is giving me permission to take down the tree. Mm-hmm. It was the most amazing thing I've ever experienced in my life.
And we have to be open to look for those things.
Absolutely.
Don't we?
Absolutely. You have to be open to that. Absolutely.
One of the things that immediately comes to mind, and I mentioned being so careful around this beautiful collection you have, but you read about this and you talk about breakage. I mean, obviously a lot of these are very fragile, and you have a dragonfly. This was a MoMA ornament. This was it's a beautiful, beautiful piece, but one of the wings has come off.
Yes.
And I know in my ornament collection, sometimes you don't even know what happened, although I have a very happy yellow lab whose tail was responsible for a lot of the breakage. But you know, you just do with, sometimes you can't help these things, can you?
No, you can't help it.
So you don't look to repair that. You keep the breakage.
I keep the breakage. If I can keep the breakage, I do. I mean, there's sometimes, right now I have egg that has lost a couple of part of its shell, but I keep it and I'm going to put it on the tree this year. As this dragonfly goes on the tree every year, I just keep his the other piece of that's fallen, that's broken, I keep it inside the box, but he gets to be on the tree every year.
What is it like to design ornaments for others, and do you draw inspiration from your own collection in that design?
That's a really wonderful question, because I think what happens when I've designed ornaments for other people, I don't really take a personal account of what my likes are, but I take account into how it's going to feel on the tree, mm-hmm. whether it's light, whether how it's going to hold up. And I also think about the color, and I also think about the design, and I also think about how the ornament is going to really relate to the person and relate to their friends and the people that come over and their family who comes to look at the tree. There's one ornament that I didn't bring with me, but it is glass, and it's called the Red Spiral ornament. And it's very special because it's round and blown glass, but it's almost like it's a peeled orange. It's the only thing I can say about it. And when you touch it, it goes chunk, chunk, chunk. And it's just a piece of glass, but it's a beautifully designed piece of glass. And I chose that because I thought to myself, if somebody is sharing their tree with somebody and all they do is walk over and they touch it, they're going to go, wow, what an incredible ornament. And that's the thing I think is very important is the incredible part of it, you know, the special nature of an ornament. And it could be color, it could be materials, it could be just anything. But I want people to appreciate an ornament on a tree and get their value, its value into their hearts. And I think that's what I look for when I design an ornament.
Just because I'm curious, but has Bonnie Mackay ever walked into a Hallmark and bought an ornament?
No, not really. I haven't.
And you know what? I thought that.
But it doesn't mean that. Well, it's funny that you say that, because I was just looking at the Hallmark website and I was thinking, oh, there's some wonderful ornaments on there.
Well, they have many pop culture things
and things that
speak to you from your childhood,
yeah.
and will help kind of have you remember things from your childhood.
Absolutely. There's one thing I want to say about childhood that I think is so important too, is that a couple of people have said this to me, which is important. They said, oh, I don't want my child to touch the tree. And I say to them, you know what? I was brought in to appreciate my tree when I was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose the ornaments. And, you know, ever since that moment, wanted to make sure that those ornaments were on the tree and those were taken care of. And I want to pass on to people that your legacy with your ornaments starts with your child. And it starts with their appreciation of ornaments, and also help them to make things. I think one of the most amazing things is to have an ornament on the tree that's made by a child. And the child can give you the ornament, or the child can make it for you yourself. But that legacy is so important, because when they grow, they will appreciate it, and they will put it on their tree, or right. they'll go into somebody's house and say, I made that. And that's really important.
I'm the youngest of five brothers.
Oh,
and
wow.
we all had an ornament that we made for our parents that was on the tree every year.
Oh, wow.
And since they passed, those ornaments went to the individual brother who made them, and it's so much fun to go to their house and to see that ornament on their tree. It's very cool.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's very, very special. The book is beautiful. It's entitled Tree of Treasures, A Life in Ornaments. It's published by Penguin, a beautiful way to not only celebrate ornaments, but to celebrate the holiday season. Bonnie Mackay, I thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program, and I hope you have a beautiful holiday season.
Thank you. And it's so wonderful to be with you, and an ornament lover as well. It
Great
really
pleasure.
Meant so much.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Tree of Treasures, A Life in Ornaments. It's published by Penguin. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.